Hopefully there's room for just one more. Jim?
Yes, sir.
The greatest player of all time. We appreciate and thank you for everything you've done for this organization and for this team right now, this group in this locker room right now. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. All I can say, I'm so proud of you. This is a team. You guys are young and strong, and you play together. And God bless you all, man. I'll be doing everything I can do. Nothing I won't do to help you. But just keep that spirit that you have. It's fantastic. I love it. The town loves it. Everybody loves it. You got them zinging now, baby.
Great to spend our here. Break us down.
Everybody up on Jim. Bound long three. One, two, three,
a victory Friday. Yes, a victory Friday. Huge, huge win for the Cleveland Browns. Not just the fact that they won the game, but how they won it, overcoming adversity, showing resiliency. I'll tell you what, even though it was a long night, didn't really get to bed and didn't sleep that much once I got there until about 4 a.m. after all the work. Wasn't partying or reveling. It was a lot of great work to get stuff up on our website on clevelandbrowns.com and prepare for the show and so on and so forth. But that is the stuff, Nathan Zagura, that energizes us.
Absolutely. Oh. And it was a game where the Browns showed resolve. They showed fortitude. It was a game that we went into it saying, this is a game they're supposed to win. Let's see this team take care of business in a game in which it is supposed to win. All of a sudden, they're down 10-0. All of a sudden, Brian Hoyer is out. Brandon Whedon, who has gotten no first-team reps since getting injured, has to come in. Shaky start. All of a sudden, you're saying, what's going on? This is not happening, is it? And then they come back, and then they go down 24-17, and they show the resolve again. They come back, they win the game, and it was. You know, we always hear our guy, Gerard Cherry, talk about complementary football, the right. Offense, the defense, the special teams, and you got it from everybody. Travis Benjamin, a huge spark on that punt return. The defense did give up some plays, but they played very, very well. And Brandon Whedon settled in, and I'm going to give, we'll get into this in great detail,
yeah.
But settled in, made some big throws when he had to. Was it always pretty? No. Are there things he can prove upon? Of course, but he got the job done, did enough, led a couple of big scoring drives, had some big third down throws, the big passing touchdown to Josh Gordon. And this is, again, a kind of win that galvanizes a team. It brings them together. And I just want to say, hearing Coach Chud's words at the beginning, and I just hearken back to listening to DeQuell Jackson sit here and say, he is a great leader of men. And that was a great speech.
It was.
Everything he said was so on point. And then he closed it off. We got to get back to work tomorrow. We will get better. I loved it. I loved everything I heard from him giving the ball to Jim Brown. What a classy, classy and touch. Phenomenal.
Being in that locker room after the game, you got chills. I mean, I was standing there, and it really was a powerful moment, and the players were connected to it. That's the other beautiful part of this. And this leadership thing that Rob Chudzinski does, it's understated. It's not forced. He chooses his words with great economy. He just doesn't go out and blather the stuff that a lot of coaches actually do in that situation. He was ready. He was concise. I think this is as good a post-game perspective as you can get from a head coach after
great.
An emotionally draining night. And look, a lot of things happened to the Browns. And yeah, they had caught lightning in a bottle in the form of Brian Hoyer's performance for a couple of games. That bottle has broken. Brian Hoyer done for the year after suffering an ACL injury. And yes, it changes the look of what this rest of the season is about. We're not going to dwell on that today. I don't want to because there's a lot to celebrate and we've got a long time till the next day. Yes, there are many questions about what the quarterback situation is going to look like with Brandon Whedon. But here's the thing. He is the solution right now because there is no one else, which is what Rob Chudzinski just got through saying. There is no one else. And it's going to look different. It's going to feel different. It might not be as good. There might be a problem. We don't know. But we'll see how they proceed. No, I don't see a magic, just to get this out of the way right away, a magical solution to be had elsewhere like you know, the hue and cry that started last night. We'll get, you know, go Josh and get Freeman. Josh Freeman from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, bring him in there. Not going to happen. He does not fit what this team is doing. There is no interest. I've already had that conversation in this building. This team is not pursuing Josh Freeman to come aboard, and don't see that fit. I heard, well, North Turner can make him. He's not his kind of quarterback, and a lot of off-field issues with him in terms of just the attitude thing and so forth. There's some problematic things. So let's dissolve that conversation right off the bat. But let's go back to where the Browns are. They're a team that's going to win games like that, Nathan, more often than they're going to win games with a great offensive output or showing. The quarterback, yes, Hoyer did some dynamic things in the games that they won with him, those first two, as a starter. But I think the pattern to victory is going to involve the kinds of plays that made the difference last night. It's going to involve the defense, which had its issues, had some breakdowns that we didn't see in the running game, especially against the run, come through and tighten up when it has to. It's going to see special teams, and especially Travis Benjamin, have to do those dynamic difference-making things. It's going to have Billy Cundiff have to be consistent and do what he did as well. So I think from that standpoint, what is left of this Browns team and season, you know, might not be as discouraging as I think folks might want to latch on to because of the quarterback, you know, the quarterback picture that's blown up in front of their eyes. But I think they're built for sustainability because of the types of players that are in that locker room.
I agree with that. And remember, last week, Brandon Whedon gave that soundbite that we played on the show saying, you know, I still feel like it's my team. I'm going to have a chance. And I said, listen, he's one play away from being the guy. Well, unfortunately, that play happened quicker than any of us would have liked. Brian Hoyer had a magical two games. Brian Hoyer, you know, in my opinion, exceeded all expectations. Now, the league is going to get tape on Brian Hoyer. The league was going to eventually catch up potentially with Brian Hoyer. However, Brandon Whedon, I think, should be applauded for what he did. Not booed. He should be applauded for what he did coming in under those circumstances in what turned out to be a hostile environment for a home game when he made his debut on the field following the injury to Brian Hoyer. Was he rusty at first? Yes. Does he hold on to the football at times too long? Absolutely. And we will get into all that stuff. Believe me, we have 10 days until the next game. Next week, let's get into that. But today, let's talk about the fact that this was a guy who was much maligned. This was a guy who really was kind of, I don't even know what the right word, but not held in any kind of high regard, clearly by this fan base.
He's a punching bag. That's what Brandon Whedon became, a punching bag, and Brian Hoyer's success exacerbated,
magnified,
it enhanced it. It made it more of a punching bag.
And he came in, and in this game, he did what it took to win the football game. And you can say that obviously Travis Benjamin played a big role, but I know the drive where Willis McGahee got his rushing touchdown, and we can get into play by play as we go through. He made some huge throws on third down. He hit the big play to Greg Little for 47 yards. He hits a 37-yard touchdown to Josh Gordon. Averaged a season-best 8.2 yards per attempt. That is the most of any Cleveland Browns quarterback in a game this year, by the way. I thought he did some good things. He does things. There are things that need to be worked on. I'm not saying that. But remember, at the beginning of this season, I thought this was a team that could go and play meaningful games in December, have an opportunity to go 9-7 with Brandon Whedon as the quarterback. I still feel that way because of how good I think the defense is, how smart I think the coaching staff is, and what the gifts that Whedon does have. If he can at least speed up a little bit, he's going to have the opportunity to make a lot of big plays with Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm aboard with the majority of what you said. I'll say this much about what we saw. Let's contain it to last night, because it did end the right way, and Whedon did pull himself together when it was necessary.
When it was necessary.
You want to see a guy who was your starting quarterback, who was your starter all of last season, and who came into this year as your starter, be more ready for that opportunity than he was. And actually, the excuse that, well, it was a short week and he wasn't getting starting reps, he was barely getting any reps, they only had a half a day to put the game plan in, all of that stuff really doesn't matter. For a guy who in his position should be the most ready, he should be more ready than Brian Hoyer was to step in when Brian did after Whedon's thumb injury. That part was disappointing, but I thought the fan reaction was over the top. I think under those circumstances, national audience, the electrified First Energy Stadium, you've got an opportunity to show the country what you have here and what you're about. And as a fan base, that was disappointing, understandable in some respects, but disappointing because he didn't need that. He needed support. That at the end of it all, and the roller coaster ride that all of us were taken on by this team through that game, and the fans went with it. By the end of it all, yeah, they were ready to hug pretty much everybody. Yeah, you still had the hand wringing and saying, oh, God, season's still going to be screwed up here because Brandon Whedon's going to be the quarterback. But I think the overriding factor of how this team achieved its success speaks more about what everybody, including Whedon, does do for this team versus winning in spite of that.
Agreed.
That's what we're looking at. And I'm going to put more – I am going to put that faith in the hands of the coaching staff to fix a lot of what they need to fix with him. I think that's a plus. And here's the other thought. This game really started out as a game that indicated opponents catching up with what Brian Hoyer does. They had enough now in two games, and I thought this might start to happen. Usually it's that three game or more window where coaches feel they've got a sufficient book. I'm talking defense versus – it could happen both ways, but especially defense dealing with an offensive weapon. And in the case of Hoyer, they figured that out. You saw routes and opportunities that he had in those previous two games missing in those first two series that he was in, the series and a half, whatever it was, series and a portion of a series. And he gets hurt on a play where he has to run for his life because there's nothing there and is running well for his life with 11 yards, but then decides to do a forward dive versus a slide. And that was the undoing. And I got to tell you, this scene in the locker room I saw afterward, he's on crutches, and North Turner comes up to him, and it's a brutal league. He's looking at Brian and basically talking about, what are you thinking here? You don't slide that way. I mean, the kid's on crutches. He's crushed. He's emotionally. But that's the honesty of football. I mean, that's a coaching moment, right? Unfortunately, it's as coachable a moment as there is. The guy's on crutches, and the coordinator and quarterback's coach is telling him, with all his 30-plus years of experience, you're going to run like that, you got to slide. You got to not do what you did. But that's what he did. The season's over. And let's hear right now Rob Jasinski talking about Brian Hoyer.
Just got the word back on the MRI for Brian Hoyer. It is a torn ACL that'll require surgery. There is no other damage besides the ACL. Obviously, he'll be out for the season.
Okay, that was Rob Jasinski on a conference call with the media a short while ago giving the update on Brian Hoyer. And
such
just
a bummer.
It's
a great story.
Because the story is, and that's the other thing that, you can have, by the way, you can have it both ways as fans. You can win the game, support the team, and still be upset, as we all are, that this story came to an end, at least for now. And
yep.
I'm holding out hope this will continue once he's all repaired and healed and back at it, and he'll push for it, and let's be optimistic about the kid. But a great Cleveland story. And, wonderful from zero to hero type of thing. We love it. And it's one of our guys, a hometown guy, San Ignatius guy. And, yeah, it was his shot. He got his shot, and that's the worst part of this. He got his shot, and it ended that way. But it did. But you don't give up on the guy that's taken over for him. That is the wrong approach. If anything, Brandon Whedon needs more support than ever. And organizationally, you got to look at what the Browns and where the Browns are and say, if you've trusted them this much and this far to get a team that's won three in a row for a lot of reasons beyond quarterback, then I think it's fair to trust that they can find a way to make the most out of whatever there is to make of the remainder of the season. Is that fair to
I think
say
it's
in
very
11,
fair.
11 weeks? Come on.
It is very fair. And let me say this. I thought there were two very important moments in this game. two very, very important moments in this game. One of them came in the second quarter, and it was the Browns had been falling behind. They were down 10-3. They were looking for a spark. The defense gives them something. Whedon comes out. He had done really nothing. The first field goal came because of a great punt return. Right. Set them up. They did absolutely nothing with the ball. You're saying to yourself, can he get anything going? And the first drive started with 11 minutes left. Of the two drives that I was the most impressed with from Brandon Whedon started with 11 minutes left in the second quarter. 3rd and 8 on the 28. You're saying, oh, we're going to go 3 and out again. It's over. 3rd and 8, 19 yards to Jordan Cameron. 3rd and 4, the Buffalo 47. Completes an 8-yard pass to Greg Little. Then he hits a 16-yard, and all of a sudden we're down in the red zone. McGahee gets it down there. Took a lot of plays to actually get the ball into the end zone, but the ball gets into the end zone.
Yes.
Then, third quarter. Browns going to halftime, up 17-10. Third quarter, C.J. Spiller on the third play of the third quarter. Boom, 54 yards, touchdown. The Browns, 3 and out. The Bills come back and score again. They run off 14 points basically in 6 minutes. You're saying, wait a second, we're down 24-17. The sky is falling. Whedon comes out on 1st and 5, 47 yards to Greg Little. Then they get another penalty, a 15-yarder back them up, take them out of basically great position at the 22-37. Right. Next play, boom, 37 yards, touchdown. That's the kind of resolve that we wanted to see from Brandon Whedon. That's the kind of fortitude we wanted to see from him, and he showed that. The defense played great. He was able to set up another couple field goals in the fourth quarter, but I thought that Whedon did enough, and we talk about this when we talk about the quarterback position in general. Sometimes you don't have everything. You don't get it done, and this isn't a team that's going to beat people, as you pointed out. This isn't Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers who are going to go throw up 45.
They won't overwhelm.
They're not going to do that.
They won't kill you with an avalanche of points. You'll not see that. It's not Peyton Manning and and Wes Welker and Demaryius Thomas and the whole crew in Denver. It's not that, never going to be that. Not this year, I don't think.
I completely agree with you. And the fact, though, that he can make some plays, and he did it, I thought those were very – when they went down 24-17, the air was about to be sucked out of the building.
Oh, yeah.
It was another 3 and out. You're saying this could be bad. And to hit those big plays 2 in a row, that was phenomenal. And that's one of the things that you got to look at on the positive. We can get into the negatives with Whedon because there are some.
Yeah.
But you got to look at the positive. He made some plays at very important moments and some big plays, and that was key.
No, those are worth mentioning, and they are. But I'm going to be clear. In mentioning those, we're not ignoring the warts. And there are a lot of warts to discuss, and we will over the course of the more than week that we have to the next
game. Yeah, I want to enjoy Friday.
But I want to enjoy. Yes. Look, they had an Italian feast today at lunch, and you're sucking down, some meatballs
some chicken
and
parm.
Pasta, chicken parm, and various things, marinara sauce. It's and one of the chefs there mentioned. I said, I could go for Italian every day of the week. The guy goes, yeah, and after a win last night, the conquering type of game that was, he said, you got to have an Italian feast to celebrate.
Vini Vici.
And it was beautiful. Yes, Vini Vici, exactly. So I love that. That's great. We're going to put that in the show slogan. But that said, the warts are there. And the challenges that this team has with him as their quarterback are going to be obvious just as they were through these first two games. But the difference is they were 0-2 then. They're 3-2 now. They've won 3 in a row. There's momentum from the games that he wasn't involved in that he's a part of. He's part of that wave.
Right.
And that matters.
Huge.
Okay? And that matters for his confidence. It matters for the team's confidence. And again, don't be sitting there expecting that you're going to have a magic pill, a magic solution, because you feel good about this and you're now worried about this being the derailment for that pursuit of a potential playoff spot. Forget about playoffs right now. Yeah, they're 3-2 and they're sitting alone atop the AFC North. Wonderful stuff. But we're a long way from that other conversation. These are building blocks. And some key blocks got put in place. I'm talking square blocks as opposed to the blocks that you do on the field. But that happened too. Enough of the blocking that helped things out with regard to the Browns offense. And here's the other thing. When when I thought this night was going to be just hell, was the moment that you get the word that Desmond Bryant, he's having some problems catching his breath, breathing. We find out today there was an irregular heartbeat. Coach Chudzinski said that. He also stressed, by the way, that Desmond Bryant's going to be okay and fine and, available to practice and then play against Detroit. The precautionary reasons, he was taken to Cleveland Clinic during the game. When I heard that, I said, my God, is there anything else? This was after the Hoyer injury, and there was something else, too. You had Chris Obanaya getting a concussion. I mean, throw that on the pile. Throw a 54-yard touchdown run by C.J. Spiller because Barkevious Mingo blew containment.
And we had talked about
pile,
that as
right?
being as a potential.
As a concern.
Sure.
And even Hurt, he did that. Even Hurt, Fred Jackson gets a couple touchdown runs. PIs, you know, on Joe Hayden and on T.J. Ward, the two of the best players in the secondary that were also killer-type players. You put that pile together and you say, no way are they overcoming this. They overcame it. And ultimately, that's got to resonate. And yes, yes, yes. E.J. Manuel, the starting quarterback for the Bills. Yep, I know. He got a knee injury, too.
That helped
He's
a little.
He's going to miss. That helped a lot.
and a guy named Jeff
Tool came in there at quarterback, and I'll say it now because I said it during the game. There is no way Jeff Blanking Tool should beat the Browns.
Browns.
The
None.
Browns do not lose to Jeff Blanking Tool.
I
said blanking a lot.
I bet you did.
Maybe I
no
didn't say
way.
Blanking.
So when they got the ball back. They got the ball back with what? A little over 2 minutes left and the Browns were up six.
Yeah.
And, you know, Browns fans are automatically thinking, there's one point we have a problem here because a touchdown gets them seven. And
right.
I said, Jeff Tool's there, and I was actually up in with the Miz who ran into you and was very fired up to run into you at the game yesterday. And we were in the box, and two plays before it happened, I said, I guarantee this guy's throwing a pick six. Guarantee it. Two plays later, T.J. Ward, pick six, hush down, game over, start the celebrations. Good night, Irene.
So call us. I know you got some thoughts on this thing. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily, at NATHANZEGURA, or at VICCARUCCI. Coming up is Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the fine columnist, sports columnist there. We're going to talk with him next. And again, a lot to review. It's a Victory Friday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.